Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, in this week's episode of Dancin' Moon Songcast, we're going to take a listen to a song called Mitako Yasin. And that song appeared originally on 2018's A Dream LP. So we'll listen to Mitako Yasin and talk a little bit about the lyrics and everything else on the other side.
Grandsons and granddaughters, they can seem lonely. They are not alone, singing prayers for the spirits of the one who passed on.
That was Mitako Yasin from 2018's A Dream. The A Dream album was a fairly political album. A Dream song we've highlighted in a previous episode refers to American Dream, as quoted in the inaugural speech of our current president. And so there are a number of songs that deal with political issues. This one included, I've mentioned before, as part of my work, I work with cultural issues in schools. And my role in that, as an educator, is to be a learner. What that looks like is I've traveled. We've got nine different reservations here in South Dakota, and then an additional three or four, depending on how you want to count them, in North Dakota. Some of them cross the line there. And span both of the Dakotas. But I interview elders, video interview, along with a colleague, and we've got put together websites that have interviews of elders sharing their stories and their wisdom and their knowledge. And then we help teachers in schools to incorporate those elements into their teaching, into their lessons. And that's really a special thing, especially right now when we're doing so much distance learning during this time of the pandemic. It's something a lot of teachers are finding and parents are finding really useful. I'll include the links to both of those websites, the South Dakota website, which is called wolokotaproject.org, and the North Dakota website, which is teachingsofourelders.org. I'll include those links on the podcast page. But this song was written out of some of that knowledge that I've gained from having sat and listened to indigenous elders across multiple states: South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana. Specifically from the people of the Ocheti Shakoi, the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota people, this word, Mitako Yasin, it's a shortened version of the full word, which is Mitakoye Oyasin, which is also a prayer. If you hear a person leading a prayer, speaking a prayer, or singing a prayer, who is part of the Ocheti Shakoi, the seven council fires, more than likely it will end with Mitakoye Oyasin, which means all my relatives. And it's a philosophy. It's a prayer. It's a way of being, recognizing my interrelatedness to everything else. Certainly all my relatives means all my blood relatives, but it also means much, much, much more than that. It means all of my relatives, all two-leggeds, all four-leggeds, all winged, all swimmers, all crawlers, rocks, grass, trees, everything having to do with Unchi Maka, grandmother Earth, and the stars and the sun and the moon as well. It's a recognition that that I, as an individual, am part of a larger family. There's a relational aspect to my existence. I'm not other, and you are not other. We are related. And that prayer, Mitako Yasin, calls us to that realization, calls us, I think, to recognize that I have a responsibility to you. You have a responsibility to me. We can't just write each other off. And of course, none of us on this planet lives up to that. But it's yet, it's aspirational. It's something we aspire to. It's something that we learn, we live into. So that was the core of the song. The other thing you should know that you, I'm sure, noticed is in this album, I really kind of stretched into rapping, and so I hope that's not off-putting to anyone to hear. Here are 50, at the time, 54, 53, some odd year old white guy rapping. Anyway, my entire approach to this is with deep respect, both to the knowledge, the indigenous knowledge that's embedded in this, and to the musical approach that I elected to take with this. I have deep respect for those who rap well, and to the culture and cultures that brought that tradition about. I have deep respect for indigenous nations, and so whatever you might think, this entire song is presented out of humble respect. As me, a learner, has learned from others. So we'll take a look at the lyrics and talk a little bit about my understanding that led me to write this, and make some connections there. The song begins. On the prairie, on the great plains, before the highways and the long coal trains, lived a people with a kinship. Grandfather put them on the land in friendship, all family, blood through the veins of the people and the nations and the grasses and the rains. No wilderness, no fear. Those indigenous nations still living right here, still living right here. Still living right here. Still living right here. So I'll start at the end of that segment. I think it's important for people. I know if you live here in the Great Plains, in the Dakotas, in Nebraska, in Minnesota, and you know, if you live out here, you should have an awareness of the indigenous people of this area. I recognize, though, because of all the things that have gone before with Hollywood, with stereotyping, with misunderstandings, misinformation, there are literally many, many people who think the indigenous people of this continent are all gone, that they don't exist anymore. And they do exist, and they don't exist in your Hollywood movie sort of way. They exist certainly as a people who have a rich history, but they exist as a people who are present with us now and who are part of our collective society. They certainly have their own society as well, but they are part of all of us, and so that's important to know, that they exist today in real time, not just in a history book or in a museum, and they have real current issues, real current activities that both contribute to society as a whole, and also are impacted by things that are going on in our society as a whole. So that's really important. But out here on the Great Plains, and I grew up on the Great Plains, Nebraska, and lived in the panhandle of Texas for a while, and now, of course, have lived in South Dakota for a long time. The Plains tribes, the Great Plains tribes, It's a unique environment that's wide and flat and open, and of course was filled with bison, and has gone over has gone through so much change over time, with highways, with the railroad before that, and remembering that there were people who have been here. There are people who were here long before those train tracks came through, long before the highways came, long before the bison were nearly wiped out. And they were here in relationship to this very specific land. Their culture, their language, their practices, their spirituality is all a reflection of the environment that they saw as family. Grandfather refers to Tunkhashala, the great spirit, who put them here on this land in friendship. The words Dakota, Lakota, Nakota all mean friend. They saw themselves as friends. They saw themselves as relatives of everything around them. And therefore, doing something was a spiritual matter. And it was a family matter. It was a relational matter. You don't just kill a bison without thinking about it, without giving thanks, without gratitude to the bison who's giving his or her life for your life. The last thing I want to mention about this section is the idea of wilderness. You know, wilderness was definitely a European idea. The untamed wilderness, the dark wilderness of our mythologies of Little Red Riding Hood going out into the woods. And the big bad wolf is out there. I mean, the wilderness was a huge thing in the minds of the European settlers. It, my understanding from the elders that I have talked, that concept did not exist for the indigenous people because this land was their family. There were places where no one was living, and they had a word for that, where, you know, yeah, that's over there where no one's living right now. But it wasn't like it was other. It wasn't like it was this frightening aspect of other, of, you know, wondering that what's out there in the darkness. There was this idea of mitako yasin, of being a relative, of acknowledging our relatedness, really eliminates that idea of wilderness. I know from a European standpoint, we have some positive connections with wilderness as well. We value wilderness. We say we need more wilderness. And I think to say we need to have places that are allowed to be what they are without our deep, heavy management. I think that is incredibly important, but at some level, that's also built into this idea of mitako yasin, that you don't try to manipulate and change your environment to make it fit you. You learn more about yourself by looking at your environment, by listening to your environment, by listening to the animals, the creatures, the birds, and the other people of your environment who are relatives. You learn about yourself by listening and learning from them. So we'll go on to the next part of the song. 100 policies made, tried to take them. 100 treaties signed, just to break them. They stand together for the sake of the water, all the seventh generation grandsons and granddaughters. It can seem lonely, but they're not alone. Singing prayers for the spirits of the one who passed on, of the ones who passed on. Open your eyes to the beauty you're crossing. Learn how to walk in mitako yasin. Mitako yasin. Mitako yasin. Mitako ye o yasin. Mitako yasin. Mitako yasin. So, you know, there's an ugly history here between the indigenous people of this place and the U.S. government. Policies that were made that were designed specifically to manipulate and to do things to the indigenous people. Ultimately, if you read some of the statements made by the forefathers, and there was a division of thought on this, but many of them felt like the best thing we could do would be to literally eradicate the indigenous people. There's no better definition of genocide, but that we just need to get rid of them. Others felt like we just need to get them into their place and make them stay there. But many of the policies that were made were self-centered from the government's point of view, from those who were coming in, who were finding this place and wanting this place, but there was these people already here. 100 treaties signed just to break them. None more obvious than the treaties here in this area, Fort Laramie Treaty, that gave immense amounts of land. Although it was a treaty that was giving land, that was actually giving land that was already possessed by those people. They were already relatives of that area. So in a way, it was just taking away a bunch of land. But even the small amounts that were signed in the treaties were then progressively taken away over the years, policy after policy that narrowed it and put holes in it and took it away and limited it further. So now today they stand together for the sake of the water. And that's, with all the pipeline work in our region, XL Pipeline and Keystone Pipeline, the young indigenous people who say, you know what, I have learned enough to know that the water of this place is my relative, the earth of this place is my relative, and I, as a relative, have a responsibility to stand for it, to make sure it's clean, not just for the sake of the water, for the sake of all of us, all the rest of my relatives. What do we do without clean water? Seventh generation grandsons and granddaughters. You know, there's a prophecy that many elders talk about that after the seventh generation, what has been taken away or destroyed will be returned to the people. And so they look to that and they look at that and they talk about that, and it's a prophecy of hopefulness that things will come about where all of this that has been taken away and destroyed will be healed at some point. It can seem lonely, but they're not alone, singing prayers for the spirits of the ones who passed on. You know, if you're an indigenous person, one clear and present, ever-present entity is the spirits of your ancestors, those who have lived before you, who have passed over, who have crossed over, who are not just dead, but they're present, and that awareness that you're not alone. And you sing those prayers to and with those spirits. Open your eyes to the beauty you're crossing. Learn how to walk in Metakoyasin. So many people cross the Great Plains, and they think everything that's important happens on the coasts, and there's plenty of wonderful things that happen on the coasts. But we're not just a flyover state. We're not just a drive-through state. There is beauty that has happened here and is happening here. And there's nothing more beautiful than this idea of our relatedness, our interrelatedness, Metakoyasin. To learn that and to learn what that means and to learn how to walk in that way, I think is one of the most valuable things that we could do, especially in times like this, to learn how to relate to one another in good ways as relatives and not to write each other off. Well, musically, like I said, this and a couple of other songs I have kind of stretched out into rapping. It's something I really enjoy doing. I'm not all that great at it, but it seemed like the right vehicle for these ideas for this song. It also, that style with the heavy beat provided me an opportunity to pick up the electric guitar again and do some more with that. And it's a heavy hitting kind of song. It has some smoother elements in it. We've got some strings in there where it kind of goes a little bit more acoustic and string based, and then comes back in with the heavy electric. I think there is plenty to be angry about, but that's the key. How do I be a good relative and know when the anger needs to come out and how that anger needs to come out, and come out in a good way, not in a destructive way, but in a way that makes change happen? And there are so many wonderful indigenous artists and musicians who are doing that. So I would encourage you to seek those out. Seek out that indigenous voice. And that's not just here on our continent. That's in Australia as well. It's in Africa. It's around the globe. Anywhere where colonialism has played a role and oppressed groups of indigenous people, you can hear those indigenous voices, and they'll rise up with wisdom, with anger, and they'll rise up to make change. So there we have it, Mithako Yasin. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Dancing Moon Songcast. You can find all my music, all my lyrics at scottsimpsonmusic.com. You can stream on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Music, Amazon, wherever you stream your music, you can find it there, YouTube. I just appreciate your time listening and considering some of the ideas that go behind some of these songs. And these ideas here, I am so happy to say, these are not my ideas. They are ideas that I have learned from wonderful, wise indigenous elders that I've been fortunate enough to spend time with. So, have a great week, and Mithako Yasin, and be well.